Hey, listeners, welcome to the Natural Birth Talk. Today I am here with home birth midwife Allison Doherty. This is our third episode in the Natural Birth Setting series, and today we are focusing specifically on home birth. Here's your sneak peek, so stick around.
Yeah, and that's one of the wonderful things about the midwifery model setup is that you've been seeing the same midwife for all of the prenatal care. By the time you get to your birth, we have a pretty close relationship.
Absolutely.
I'm thrilled to feel like or to say that I feel like I'm good friends with my mamas.
Hi, I'm Rachel Manns, owner of the Natural Birth Site and this podcast, The Natural Birth Talk. Here, you'll learn all about different natural aspects of birth, pregnancy, and postpartum. Remember, none of this information should take the place of a care provider and is not medical advice. Birth is not a medical emergency. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Natural Birth Talk. I'm Rachel, and today I am here with Allison Doherty, who is a certified professional home birth midwife in the St. Louis area. I will go ahead and let her introduce herself.
Hi guys, I'm Allison Doherty, a certified professional midwife here in St. Louis, Missouri. Happy to be here with you today, talking about all things home birth and midwifery related care.
I am super excited about this. So you were my midwife for my most recent birth, and it was such a wonderful experience. My favorite part was the postpartum care, for sure. Yay. And we'll get to that in a minute. But our main topic today is just kind of telling our listeners about home birth and maybe how it differs from some other birth options. And we're kind of going to make it sound real awesome because it is my preferred choice. And maybe we can convince some listeners too.
That sounds great. I'm thrilled to talk about this anytime.
So why don't we start with just kind of maybe describing a, quote, normal, I don't like to say that word, but just describing a common home birth or little bits about it or, I don't know, or your favorite parts. I don't know. You can start. Pick.
Like, so, you're right. So how would what does a home birth look like for those who've never even maybe considered that, hey, you can have your baby at home and that's, people still do that. We get that question a lot. Like, you can do that?
You can. Moms give birth in huts every day.
That's right. It still happens. And it happens here in the U.S. We have a really rich history of midwifery, and Missouri here is no different. There have been midwives who never quit working, you know, even as birth moved into the hospitals in the early 1900s, there were always midwives practicing. You know, the laws changed throughout the years and at times were not supportive of midwives practicing. But, you know, fortunately, those have changed in recent years. So it's, you know, hiring a midwife is a much more available option for consumers, which is a really good thing.
Absolutely.
And it's a better situation for the midwives. You know, we can talk to one another. We can have great relationships with doctors who are supportive of midwives. We can, you know, if we need to use a hospital, we can much more easily. So, yeah, a lot of great things have happened in the realm of midwifery care and home birth in the last, you know, 20 years or so.
I think a big part of that is that we are starting to realize that home birth is actually safer for mom. There was actually just a big cohort study that came out that showed that home birth for low-risk moms, low-risk is kind of a vague term, but low-risk moms, home birth is actually safer for mom and equally as safe for baby.
That's right. Yes. So that's what I think is really speaks for itself is the research. Any well-designed research study does repeatedly show that home birth is just as safe, if not safer, than hospital birth. And so that's based on maternal mortality and morbidity, as well as fetal or baby mortality and morbidity. And that is accomplished with less intervention as
Absolutely.
Well, which is, it's a noteworthy item as well. So the outcomes are just as good, if not better, than hospital birth when you compare low-risk groups of moms and less interventions being done to those moms. So, but yeah, so what does a home birth look like? You know, usually it's myself and a midwife assistant who attends the birth. We like to work in pairs.
Which is smart, just in case.
Yeah, we like to have one of us that, you know, if we need to have hands on both a mom and a baby at the same time, that we can do that. So, you know, usually the client will meet the midwife assistant who's planning to be at their birth. Mm-hmm. The family would have a chance to meet her around 37 weeks or so.
Uh-huh. And I'm sure everyone does that a little bit differently. But sure. You're going to know who's going to be at your birth.
Absolutely.
Unless some freak situation happens, but
yeah, and that's one of the wonderful things about the midwifery model setup is that you've been seeing the same midwife for all of the prenatal care. By the time you get to your birth, we have a pretty close relationship.
Absolutely.
I'm thrilled to feel like, or to say that I feel like I'm good friends with my mamas and my clients after, you know, we've had a baby and, you know, entered into the postpartum care time. But so, yeah, the client would contact me when she thinks something might be happening as far as labor.
Uh-huh.
Usually we'll be in contact a little, you know, back and forth throughout the early labor process. Uh-huh. Typically, there's some back and forth. It could happen that a mom might call and say things are happening suddenly and quickly, kind of like it did for you.
Kind of like mine.
Right. So that does happen. And if we come as soon as the mom thinks, like, okay, this is sounding like active labor, you know, mm-hmm. whether it's the mom is telling us, yeah, I think you should come, or maybe she's describing her labor pattern and it sounds like active labor mm-hmm. to us. If it seems like it's...
Or there's a doula there saying, hey, I think you should come now.
Right. Yes. Doulas are wonderful. And often they might be there. They might be the one to arrive first and, mm-hmm. and they can help a midwife say, yeah, I think it's a good time to come.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, our goal is to be there during active labor and then for the baby coming. And then we are there typically anywhere from, on average, I would say 3 hours after the birth,
uh-huh.
up to four though, maybe. And so we're assisting with breastfeeding. That's, for us at home, that's the most important piece is, you know, the mom has uninterrupted skin-to-skin time mm-hmm. with her baby. She has all the time she wants or needs to begin that bonding and breastfeeding process. Mm-hmm. That we take very seriously, and we don't want to interrupt that, you
right.
know. And
honestly, this just popped in my head. That is probably one of the reasons why moms have better outcomes when mm-hmm. they birth at home, mm-hmm. because by encouraging that immediate skin-to-skin, keeping that cord mm-hmm. intact, making sure mom feels comfortable mm-hmm. and safe and at peace, I can imagine that yes. helps the placenta to come more smoothly.
Absolutely.
That helps her to, you know, regulate mm-hmm. a little bit better after this big event.
Yes. Yes, it
That's
does.
Huge.
It's huge. It's a huge piece. Yeah. When baby has open, easy access to nurse on mama, you know, that will help the placenta to come out, which will mm-hmm. then reduce bleeding or keep that to the spot that it should be. Yeah, and it really gets that motherhood journey off on the right foot, you mm-hmm. know? So that's our priority after a baby has come at home is just, you know, the mom is with her baby, no interruptions. We, as a routine, we don't cut the cord, you know, until it's done pulsing. Usually that's after the placenta is out.
Yeah, I mean, I think mine was left intact with you for mm-hmm. hours. I have pictures
from
hours later.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think that's huge for babies, too. Mm-hmm. Instead of cutting the cord and swooping them to the warmer, we're not just leaving it intact for 60 right. seconds or 3 minutes.
Right.
We're leaving it intact for a long, extended amount of time.
Yes.
And baby gets all of that extra blood mm-hmm. and all of that oxygen that just helps support their mm-hmm. body better.
Right. There's been some studies recently in recent years that show that the length of time that the cord was left to pulse directly affects the child's iron stores mm-hmm. in their childhood. So, you know, it matters. Like, what you do in those moments after birth, it does matter, you know, both to the baby and the mom. We can't pretend like it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It really does. And 60 seconds is not enough. So,
right. It's better than nothing, but mm-hmm.
yeah.
it's definitely not right. ideal.
Yeah. And, you know, so for those who, for whatever reason, if they are choosing to birth in a hospital or have to birth in a hospital, one thing that they can ask for is, you know, please don't cut the cord until after my placenta is out.
That's what I usually recommend with clients.
Yeah.
I could have a whole podcast about cord cutting or not cutting.
Right. Right.
But my favorite thing about mm-hmm. everything you just said mm-hmm. is that you are our contact person. moms have a relationship with every single person who is going to be at their birth mm-hmm. and a close relationship. There's no mm-hmm. middleman like in a hospital where you have to talk mm-hmm. to the nurse and the nurse has to call the doctor or call the right. office. Mm-hmm. It's you're in direct contact with the midwife mm-hmm. and there's no surprise person. Mm-hmm. You know, it's in the hospital, you know your care provider probably, mm-hmm. but you don't know the nurses who right. are coming in. But at home, you know who that mm-hmm. nurse or midwife assistant is going to be. Mm-hmm. So there's no surprises. And that is huge for yes. comfort levels. It's huge for mm-hmm. trust levels. It's really awesome.
Yeah. That's one of the, you know, ways in which we do like to differentiate midwifery care from other types of care is just the personal nature of it. Mm-hmm. Prenatal visits, going back to that piece, personally, I schedule an hour for my visits. I want mm-hmm. to make sure moms don't feel rushed with their care. I want to provide ample time to talk about any issues or problems they're having. But mm-hmm. all throughout that time, we're developing our bond and our relationship and developing trust so that Absolutely. As we enter into this birth time, that it's such a personal thing. And even though, yeah, as midwives, we attend births every week, every month, for that mom, for that family, that's a huge life event, you mm-hmm. know? And we take that very seriously.
You definitely have a higher respect for the fact that this is a life event for people than I feel like mm-hmm. most care providers in a hospital would. A lot of hospital-based midwives have that same respect.
Sure.
But most OBs don't have that. It's just, you're just kind of the next person coming in and I think a big part of that is because you build that relationship and you mm-hmm. really get to know them. And then by getting to know these people so well, mm-hmm. you can make better recommendations if mm-hmm. needed, too.
Yes.
Which is awesome. I mean, I remember one day in one of our prenatal visits, mm-hmm. I was struggling with migraines. I didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And you pulled up this list of homeopathy and were like, mm-hmm. let's look and see mm-hmm. exactly what we can do to try and help you. Mm-hmm. And it actually did help a mm-hmm. lot.
Good.
But that's Yay. Something that an OB never would have taken the time to do to really get to know. They would have just said, oh, mm-hmm. you're having migraines. That's mm-hmm. part of pregnancy. Or here's this yeah. medicine that yeah. maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. But, you mm-hmm. know, point being is that because you get to know the client so well, you get to take a more personal approach, mm-hmm. a more tailored approach. Mm-hmm. And that's huge because every birth is different.
Yes, that's right. And that's a great point. So even though there's threads of commonality in all births, of course, we really want to tailor our approach for each mama. Mm-hmm. You know, at a birth, some moms might like a lot of touch, you know, and that's mm-hmm. that's great. That's fine. Some mamas might not want any touch uh-huh. and some fall in between. And that's the same
or change their minds throughout.
Or change their mind. And they have a right to do that. That's understandable. So we have to be able to meld ourselves and really read the situation. Mm-hmm. So that's where kind of, you know, using the intuitive nature comes yes. into play. This isn't, it's an art and a science, you know,
yes, of like, absolutely.
Read the room, read the situation, you know, and
usually sit on your hands and do nothing.
Yes.
Which is so hard for people in the hospital. They just want to pick and poke and do all these things.
It can be, yeah.
Can be a challenge. And right. home birth midwives tend to be a little better at just sitting and waiting.
Yeah. If I can tell a mom's doing fine and she just kind of wants her space, I'll just, you know, I'll go and I'll check on baby. We do check on baby's heartbeat on a regular basis throughout active labor to make sure baby's tolerating labor well. So, but if a mom seems to want her space, that's totally fine. And I'll just quietly let the mom and dad know, hey, we're right over here. If you need us, just let us mm-hmm. know. And usually they do. If the dad is like, hey, I do need your support, come on over. And some mamas want you really close the whole time, and mm-hmm. that's okay too. So you have to be willing to, as a midwife, meet people where they're at,
yes.
you know, whether mm-hmm. and whether that's prenatally with a topic or an issue or during the birth or any postpartum issues that might arise. So,
yeah.
you know, as you mentioned, I like to use homeopathy mm-hmm. in my practice, herbs. I do love herbal support. You can attain or gain so many nutrients from using herbs.
Oh, absolutely.
It's amazing. And there's so many that are very safe for pregnancy. Chiropractic, so body mm-hmm. work. This is something I do recommend for all mamas.
Absolutely.
The benefits are quite long. The list mm-hmm. is quite long. So these are things that you know, we would be talking about during our, mm-hmm. our prenatal visits. And
I think most home birth midwives like to take those more natural approaches. Some, maybe not necessarily, but most do. And again, the benefit is that because you know them personally, you know, an OB would probably say, if they're even going to tell you to go to a chiropractor, and that's a big if, they would probably just give you one name. Hey, I like this person, or go to this person. But you can get to know the personality of the mom.
Yes.
You can say, hey, I think you would work well with this chiropractor in this area.
Right.
Or, you know, I love this chiropractor personally, but I'm just not sure that personality-wise they're going to be a great fit for you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you have that ability to personalize. Again, yes. Just really tailor it to the mom.
Right. And we have really a very rich community here in St. Louis.
Yeah, we are really lucky to be in this
birth
area.
Birth workers, chiropractors. We have so many chiropractors, and we have quite a few that specialize in pregnancy work and work with babies as well. So we're very lucky.
And then we have our awesome herbal shop.
Yes, we've got an herbal shop around the corner, and she's super knowledgeable.
And these are things that would never or very rarely be even allowed in a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
We have birth centers may take advantage of some of these things, but they wouldn't barely be allowed in the hospital, or if they were allowed in, you'd have to do it all yourself. You wouldn't, you know, no one would prescribe these things to you. And you have that awesome benefit when you have a home birth midwife that they do open up their minds a little bit and use the range of things available instead of just this one way.
Yes, because, you know, I think a lot of mamas would be interested to know, you know, even mamas who might have an OB or using the hospital. Gosh, if they knew that they had various options, they might be inclined to try those things before they picked up a medication. And you know, midwives, we are not, like, opposed to using medications when necessary, but for myself, we like to really explore all of our other options before we get to that point that we would even need to use a medication. And if we have to use one for a certain treatment, you know, let's use it judiciously and cautiously and being aware of the potential side effects. You know, we're not opposed to those things when we need them.
Yeah. And still being able to tailor it to that mom. An OB or just a doctor in general will say, take this medicine at this amount. But you could say, okay, well, I know you get nauseous really easily if you take XYZ. So let's try a lower amount first.
Right.
Again, you can still even tailor that.
Yes.
I think that's the biggest benefit of home birth is that, well, they go together, right? So you get to know the mom so well, and then you can tailor everything to them. And that's huge. And then for mom just being in the comfort of her own home.
Yes.
It is amazing how not having to get in the car.
Yes.
How much better that makes your birth.
Yes, that's a big thing. So, yeah, right around, this is something that comes up to in my mind every birth I'm at, right around the time that, so say if a mom is birthing at maybe like a birth center or even a hospital where they're going to be early discharging, I think typically that, you know, they can go at 3-4 hours after the baby's
I think
been
around
born.
Here it's like 4 to 6
four,
or something.
Anywhere from 4 to 6. So what I have observed at the births of my clients is that, you know, so we're there, like I said, anywhere from 3 to 4 hours afterwards, and we're cleaning up and we're assisting mom and going to the bathroom and we're checking her perineum to see if does she need sutures or not. And if so, then we do that and doing a newborn exam for the baby. We weigh and measure the baby and again, do breastfeeding education at that point, maybe a couple of times over, you know, over the course of those hours while we're there. But right around the time that we're packing up and we're heading out, that's usually the time the mom is really getting tired. I always give a set of postpartum instructions, even if a mom has many kiddos. I always like to run through these, and it's sort of like, this is what to look for or expect with a new baby and for yourself and for the breastfeeding situation together. I try to run through those instructions, you know, within the first hour if possible, just because I know the mom's going to be getting really tired sometime very soon.
Even You're working with the hormones of labor, right?
Yes.
You know she just had an adrenaline rush, so she can kind of focus for now.
Right, and that's normal. We expect that. So around the time we leave, and she's getting sleepy and hopefully settling in for her nap with her baby, that's the time where she's going to have to be thinking about leaving a facility if she's doing early discharge. And the thought to me to having to pack up, get your clothes on when you're heavy bleeding or, you know, fairly heavy, and put a newborn into a car seat, like, it's not appealing.
Right. And
it's,
then to have to turn around and come back 24 hours later, because usually they want you to come back within 48 hours to do XYZ test. Right. Which is exhausting in and of itself.
That's exhausting. I feel like, personally, it's too much to ask moms to do. So, therefore, mm-hmm. I don't ask moms to do that. And you mentioned postpartum care.
You have the best postpartum care.
I really enjoy it. I really, really do.
It's why I hired you. I was really considering an unassisted birth for mm-hmm. my birth because I'm a doula mm-hmm. and I knew what I was doing. I knew I had fast labors. But I wanted mm-hmm. postpartum care. And mm-hmm. you definitely delivered.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. It brings joy to me. It really does. And I hope that I can, you know, any help that I can be for moms and, mm-hmm. and for their babies, I want to be able to provide that to them. So,
and to expand on that, mm-hmm. because I'm saying it like the audience knows what we're talking about, but if you have an OB or even a hospital-based mm-hmm. midwife, mm-hmm. even maybe with certain birth centers, mm-hmm. you get one postpartum visit.
Mm-hmm.
One.
Right.
At 4 to 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. When you have a home birth, mm-hmm. you get, usually the minimum I've seen a home birth midwife give is three mm-hmm. within the first 6 weeks. Right. Where many, like mm-hmm. you, do many, many more than that. Mm-hmm. I think within the first 2 months you came like eight times or something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
That is huge because that is the care that we need as moms.
Right.
We need more postpartum visits. So that's just mm-hmm. one more positive thing about home birth mm-hmm. that is huge because that yes. postpartum care can be the difference between postpartum mm-hmm. depression or a postpartum mood disorder and not having one.
And not.
Or catching it early.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do think that's a big piece that maybe folks, when they're considering their birth choice of where they're going to give birth, they're probably not thinking about the postpartum care. Yeah. They may not be even considering that piece.
It's not a focus in our culture. Right. It should be.
Yes.
And but it's not.
I'm doing what I can in my little corner here to bring that back. You know, historically, in any culture you look at, if you go back far enough, women have been supported usually by the other women in their community.
Mm-hmm. We had a village.
Yes.
I'm doing a podcast on that. So
oh,
just
good.
Specifically the village, because I think it's so important.
It is. Well, they were expected to rest and recover afterwards, mm-hmm. and they were not expected to do work around their home or take care of their other kids or anything.
Right.
And we've gotten away from that here.
Now we say, oh, you'll bounce right back.
Yeah, it's like this.
It's a dangerous thing to say.
It's very dangerous. We need to set realistic expectations. And so I'm pretty upfront and open mm-hmm. with my mamas during pregnancy about.
You're very good about making sure they rest.
Oh, good. I try really hard. And I've probably been annoying to some people.
Like, I remember it was like 3 days postpartum or something. And I had to shower. I just was like, I have
sure,
to shower.
That's reasonable. But
you definitely got after me because you're like, you're supposed to rest. I said, I sat in the shower. I promise I sat in the shower.
That's very reasonable.
It is. Yeah. But it's just so funny because you're like, just minimize all of it. And it really is beneficial. And I took it so much easier with this last pregnancy than I did my other two. And it made a huge difference. Hey everyone, Rachel Manns here. And today I have something I'm thrilled to share with you guys. Imagine having a treasure trove of informative, entertaining, and empowering video content about the journey to parenthood right at your fingertips. That's exactly what you get with Informed Pregnancy Plus. For less than 25 cents a day, that's a quarter, guys, you'll gain access to a vast subscription library filled with documentary films, web series, mind and body fitness programs, workshops, and courses covering fertility to parenting and everything in between. Designed for new and expectant parents, as well as pregnancy and birth professionals, Informed Pregnancy Plus is like having a trusted BFF and doctor in one, guiding you through every step of the path to and through parenthood. A few of just my favorite titles are obviously The Business of Being Born, Empowered Mama, Belly Dance for Birth, How Fun Is That?, Ease into Sleep, The Afterbirth Plan, and The Core Connection, an extremely well-presented and informative workshop teaching you about your core and pelvic floor and how to keep them healthy. And here's the best part. For a limited time, you can gain full access absolutely free. Just visit informedpregnancy.tv to sign up. Sign up for Informed Pregnancy Plus right now. I'm not kidding, guys. It's really going to help you out. It's my prescription for your informed and empowered parenting journey, all from the comfort of your home. Visit informedpregnancy.tv. That's informedpregnancy.tv, and the link will be in the description below. Now back to the show.
I know it does. It helps so much with preventing, like, as you mentioned, postpartum anxiety and depression or a mood disorder. Those have been connected with, for a mama, trying to get up and do too much too soon, mm-hmm. you know? So there's that. There's her physical recovery. So bleeding will increase when a mom is on her feet too much too early on. So I request moms commit to heavy rest for at least minimum of 3 weeks. I'd like to ask for 40 days.
Right.
But I kind of... That's
traditional in a lot of older cultures,
yes.
or Eastern cultures.
Right. And I think it's a good idea. I have a mama who did that recently, and she was so glad that she did. But anyway, 3 weeks, and it doesn't mean jump back on your feet, do all the things at the end of that time. No, from week 3 to week 6 postpartum, just only very light active, like,
right.
you know, maybe 5 minutes on your feet or something, 5 to 10 minutes. But I think it's important to talk about this and give a mama realistic expectations of what she should or should not perhaps be doing, you
Absolutely.
Know, afterwards.
So, and that education factor from home birth midwives, I see it a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
I see them educating just like mm-hmm. you do so much more often mm-hmm. than hospital-based care providers. And birth centers yeah. usually are fairly mm-hmm. good about education too,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
again, there's just something about that close personal relationship that you build when you have a home birth midwife, mm-hmm. one specific midwife, you build that and
yeah.
that trust is there and
mm-hmm.
it's, I don't know.
It's really special. It's a really special relationship. Oh, and the other piece that I make sure folks know when we work together, and this is the same for pregnancy or postpartum, mm-hmm. they can call or text me anytime. So mm-hmm. if they have questions that pop up in between our visits, I like to say, just if you're considering Googling it and going down the rabbit holes, and not that research is good, but I am here for these things.
Right.
And if there's something I can quickly answer and be a resource to you, then don't feel bad. You're not bothering me. That's what I'm here for. So
right.
it's meant to be that type of service. Like,
it's awesome.
I thank you. I really try hard to fill that need and serve the families in
because
that way.
Because that type of care and that type of relationship really is a need. And it goes back to traditional cultures again, and we
yes.
won't get into all of that. But just home birth is a wonderful option if you are low risk. Again, mm-hmm. low risk is a bit of a vague term. You and your midwife can decide what that means. But
mm-hmm.
it is an awesome option. There are a couple little negatives that I feel like, just in the spirit of honesty, we should point out.
Okay.
That would be, you have to buy your own supplies for a chunk of it. There's that birth
sure.
kit. Which,
yeah.
I mean, it's pretty small. It's maybe like $100 or
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, about $100 for the birth kit. And then I have a supply list of things that a mom would gather beforehand. So like towels, a flashlight, a bowl for the placenta,
yeah.
olive oil, peroxide, things like
some
that.
Some basic things.
Some basic stuff. It shouldn't be too expensive to gather these things if you have to fill in the gaps
mm-hmm.
of things you don't have. But
and then the obvious negative is that mm-hmm. insurance doesn't usually cover it.
Right.
And for
right.
the midwife, that's not necessarily a negative because a bunch of insurance stuff that I won't get into. But for a lot of moms, mm-hmm. that makes it very hard for a home birth to be achievable. Their insurance doesn't cover it, whereas mm-hmm. an insurance may cover the majority of a hospital birth.
Mm-hmm.
Home birth is still cheaper when you look mm-hmm. at it broken down. A home birth midwife may be like $5,000 or something, maybe
mm-hmm.
cheaper, you know, in more rural areas.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a hospital birth is usually like 10 grand minimum.
Right.
It's just, you know, you just have to remember that insurance is paying for the hospital birth. You're probably paying for the home birth. But if you have the means,
mm-hmm.
that money is worth every single penny. It
yes.
is worth it to get your ideal birth and the birth that you want, because even if you have a great relationship with your hospital care provider,
mm-hmm.
even if they are completely on board with everything you want, that doesn't mean that when you get to the hospital, your
mm-hmm.
nurse is going to be on board.
Right.
It doesn't mean your nurse is going to be supportive.
Mm-hmm.
You still have rules, like, you know, hospitals
mm-hmm.
do still want you to have the IV and
yep.
certain fetal monitoring with the straps and everything, which is
mm-hmm.
really annoying. They
mm-hmm.
have rules about maybe not birthing in the tub or
mm-hmm.
staying in your room. You know, they
mm-hmm.
have those kinds of rules where you don't have those
mm-hmm.
rules in a home birth.
All the baby stuff afterwards.
All the baby stuff afterwards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that, you know, the baby like coughs one time and everyone gets upset and takes it to the warmer. Whereas
right.
at
right.
home, we're like, okay, baby's pink, so we don't
mm-hmm.
need to stress.
Right, right.
And
yeah.
that actually brings me into the last thing I want to point
mm-hmm.
out. Even in a home birth, you carry life-saving medication. consultations, right?
Yes, we do.
You, most midwives can do that. I know that there are some weird rules in certain states, and you would have to look into the specifics of your state. But for most midwives, they carry those life-saving medications. They are certified in neonatal resuscitation or aware of how to do that. So they can resuscitate your baby while the cord is still attached on your chest. So short of a true emergency, everything can still be taken care of at home. Even if there are problems like mom's bleeding a lot or a baby is struggling to breathe, that can still, the majority of the time, be managed at home.
That's
with
right.
the home birth midwife.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, we carry the same medications they would use in the hospital to deal with that situation for the if there's too much bleeding. I do carry, in case we need to administer an IV, I have IV fluids. Now, most births, we don't, as a routine, we don't need to use that. But we do have them in case we want to or need to. And as you mentioned, we're certified in neonatal resuscitation, and we would begin to do the same things in the hospital that if we needed to help a baby. And, you know, the Heart Association says about 10% of babies will need a little bit of help to get going. And I think we find that to be true. That's about right.
But you can do it while the cord is still attached with baby on mom's chest. You're not cutting the cord and scooping the baby to the warmer.
Right. Mama's right there.
You're doing it calmly and gently and peacefully, just about.
Right.
At home with the baby still on mom's chest.
Yes, exactly. That's the goal, is mama is right there and there's no taking the baby away. There's no need for it.
Well, and studies have shown that it's bad to do that anyway.
Right.
Mom's
right.
chest is the best regulator for their temperature, their breathing, their blood sugar, and their heart rate.
Right. Yeah.
And so why are we swooping them off, right?
Right. And they know mom's voice, too. Like, when the mom or dad start to talk to the baby, that actually helps, too. They can really respond to that. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you mentioned, the going back to the cost piece, you mentioned that probably most midwives, myself included, we don't ever want home birth to be a cost-prohibitive thing for a family. So I personally try to be flexible with, like, a payment plan, you know, coming up with a plan that will work for the family. If my plans that I present don't work for them, just tell me what would work. We can usually work something out just fine. So.
And I think that's common among many midwives. So
yeah, we want it to work for families, and I'd like to think that it's reasonable for families. So.
Any last little nuggets of information you'd like to add? Gosh. I know it's hard because there's so much you want to give, but anything that you think is going to really help our listeners?
Oh, gosh, there could be so many things, right? I would say consider it. Consider home birth, and don't feel like you have to have one baby in the hospital before you do home birth. I hear that
a lot.
Yeah. Like, I'll do my first one in the hospital and then we'll see. But if you're really interested in it, there's no reason why you can't have your first baby at home.
Because you always have the option to transfer, too. If something goes wrong, or if you get really into it and you're like, this is not for me.
Yeah.
You have the option to transfer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. And on that note, for my first-time mamas, I do highly recommend a series of classes, like the type you teach, a natural birth series. That's going to really support both the mom and the dad in their preparation and getting ready for the birth. They can learn coping techniques and strategies. So that is really essential and is going to really boost their confidence. But
that's for any birth, honestly.
That's for any birth. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Hospital-based birth center. But I should say, just because you're having a home birth, don't think you shouldn't take a class. Like, no, you really should, especially if it's your first time.
Especially if you didn't grow up around birth, with most of us did not.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's a good idea. If you can hire a doula, I think doulas are great, even at home births. You know, people sometimes will say, well, I'm planning a home birth. Do you think I should have a doula? And of course, it's their choice. But if they're inclined to, if that interests them, I always encourage that. Yeah. I think doulas are a very special part of the team and they can provide really great support. But yeah, you can have your first baby at home too. You don't have to wait.
You can have anybody there or not there that you want. You have control over who is in your house and at your birth or not at your birth.
Right. Exactly.
Which is another super awesome positive. There's no visitor limitations and there's no one required to be in the room.
Right.
If you're not meshing well or something. Like, you know, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So clearly we think home births are really awesome options.
Right.
Yeah. It's a really awesome option for most moms.
I do. Luckily I got into this before I had kids, you know, so yeah. My mom had a really tough birth with me and told me about it every birthday I had. And I was like, well, I want to have kids, but boy, that sounds terrible. You know, what she went through in the hospital. So I vowed to find out another way. And
that's awesome.
Years later, I came across Ina May's Spiritual Midwifery.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure you've read. And it was like the ultimate light bulb moment, finding out about there's midwives and there's home birth and I don't have to go to the hospital. This is amazing. And it was such a weight off my chest.
I've had kind of all the experiences. I've had a hospital birth. I've had one that was technically a hospital, but it was set up more like a birth center. Mm-hmm. And then I've had the home birth. Mm-hmm. And man, I wish I knew about home birth with my first. And I wish I knew more about it with my second. But you live and you learn.
That's right. Yeah.
But I, you know, I absolutely would have done the home birth with my first had I known it was an option.
Right. You just didn't know. Right. Yeah.
And you don't know what you don't know. And it's never too late to change your mind either.
Most
home birth midwives will take late transfers.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's always an option too.
If they have an availability in their schedule, they might take you on. So don't count yourself out just because
you're 36 weeks or something like that.
Right. Absolutely. You know, I think for me, if I talk to a mom and I know she's very committed and if I understand her circumstances and I feel like she's a good fit, like, yeah, I'll try to work with someone, even if it's later in their pregnancy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and stop there simply because, I mean, we probably have a million other things we could say, but we're past the 30-minute mark. So I really appreciate you being here.
Yay, I'm thrilled to do it.
Yeah, we've been trying to pin this down for a while.
A long time. There's so many fun things. Yeah, but if your listeners, you know, I don't know if they have a way to message you, but if they have any other questions, and I'm happy to do a part two if we need to. So.
That's a great idea, like a question and answer. I love that.
Yeah.
I don't know why I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
So you heard it from Allison. If you guys have any questions, just message me at contact@thenaturalbirthsite.com. I can answer some questions right away, but if you have some questions and you want to hear from Allison again, definitely let me know. I will put links in the description below. And go ahead and, you know, while you're at it, check out some of my other podcasts if you haven't yet. This is part of a whole series of midwives and birth locations and choices and things like that. So anyway, finishing up, thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening. And I will talk to you guys in the next episode.
Hi, Rachel Manns again. If you want to learn more, please subscribe to this podcast and head over to my site, thenaturalbirthsite.com, to check out my blog, shop, email list, and YouTube channel. Thanks! Hi, Rachel Manns again. If you want to learn more, please subscribe to and rate this podcast and head over to thenaturalbirthsite.com to check out our online natural birth education course, birth story blog, YouTube channel, and more.